Good evening. Bring your warm greetings in the name of Jesus Christ. We've been asked to read from Hebrews 2, 1 to 3. Hebrews 2, 1 to 3. The top of my chapter gives it a heading, Give Earnest Heed to Salvation. Hebrews 2, 1 to 3. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. With these words, let us kneel for prayer.
Good evening. We greet each of you this evening in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sermon title tonight is, as Nathan said, Our Great Salvation. Sort of like to take up where Brother Marvin left off last Sunday evening. We had a powerful sermon last Sunday evening about how God's mighty hand delivered the Hebrew children from the Egyptians. Their salvation, their deliverance. Brother Marvin made application for us and our great salvation. It's just as great, it's just as miraculous as the Israelites as they left Egypt. And I've been thinking about that this week. Our great salvation. So that's going through my mind. Sermon from last Sunday. Plus I started my personal devotions, a study of the book of Jude. And I'd like to look at that this evening. And a lot of times we jump in the book of Jude to verse 3. We've heard many, many sermons on verse 3. About earnestly contending for the faith. But we skip over oftentimes the first two verses of Jude, where it tells about our great salvation. So these are the things that are going through my mind this evening. Plus we have a baptism. I've been thinking on that this afternoon, how great that is. And all these things are going through my mind as I think about how great is our salvation. How great is our salvation? You know, if we believe that our salvation is great, if we really believe that our salvation is precious, valuable, it should change everything we do in life, shouldn't it? Should change the way we look at problems. Should change the way we react to people. Should change the way we live and think and say and do. All this should change if we're living in the knowledge of how great our salvation is. And my challenge to you this evening, do you think that your salvation is great? Is it precious to you? Is it the most valuable thing that you have? Is your salvation really great? Turn, if you would, and Brother Marvin left off here last week, Exodus 15. He touched on this, and I think if I remember correctly, he did read these verses. But I'd just like to go over them again. Exodus 15. They had just experienced a great deliverance. A great deliverance. And so Moses here breaks into song. Exodus 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he's thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Is that your response tonight as you think of your great salvation? Skipping down to Miriam's song in verse 22, verse 21, the same chapter. And Miriam answered them, she said, "Sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Is that your response to your salvation? Is that what was going through your mind this morning when the four came out of the baptismal water? It was going through my mind. Praise God. The horse and his riders thrown into the sea, and God has triumphed gloriously. It is a great salvation. Turn and hear David's testimony in Psalm 63. Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in thy sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. How great a salvation we have. Praise should be continually on our lips, glorifying God for his goodness and his greatness. Is that the way you view your salvation? Is that the way you view your salvation? Or has it become common every day? You know, I was thinking of Esau. And his great sin was to take something valuable, his birthright, and treat it as something common. God help us, lest we do the same thing with our salvation. Take something precious and live weeks and months without thinking about it and treat it as common. You know, these Israelites, they had just experienced that great salvation. They've seen God's mighty hand and the miracles that he performed. Yet it wasn't long, was it? It wasn't long till they doubted God. They wanted to go back. And they perished in the wilderness. If they just would have remembered how great their salvation was. But somehow in those times of trouble, they forgot about it. If Esau just would have cherished that special thing, his birthright. But yet he treated it as something common. And I challenge you tonight. Do you value your salvation? Or has it grown old? Same old thing, and it's just lost something you don't think about. It's lost in the day-to-day business of living, lost in the accumulation of wealth, lost in whatever's taking up your time and your energy and your thought. Tonight, think about how great your salvation is. Turn to the text that Brother Nathan read, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. We would make note here before we begin reading, this text, this book, was written to believers. It was written to you. It was written to me. Hebrews 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Hear the admonition, hear the encouragement, hear the warning, whatever you want to call it. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we had heard. Unless it's possible, we let it slip. We see clearly here it is a possibility. It is a possibility that we put things far from our mind and they slip, they drift away. It is possible to neglect your salvation. It is possible to drift away. It is possible for your love to grow cold. It happens so easily, doesn't it? Here it describes how easily it happened, like slipping, like drifting. You don't have to do anything, and it happens naturally. All you have to do is be careless, do nothing, don't pay attention, and things slip. The warning here is a call to action. Earnest heed is not just to hear, but to do. It's a call to action. It's an urgent plea. It's a necessity. Verse 2, for if the word spoken to angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The question here is a rhetorical one. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I trust everybody in the auditorium this evening can answer that question as we won't. We can't. We can't escape if we neglect so great a salvation. Esau didn't escape. Says he sought it afterwards. It was too late. The Israelites didn't escape in the wilderness. A whole generation of them had to die. Hymenaeus and Alexander, Scripture tells us, didn't escape. They veered off course. Demas, Scripture tells us, didn't escape. He let the world creep in. And he loved the world more than he loved his salvation. You know, our fate will be the same. Our fate will be the same if we neglect so great a salvation. The other thing that was going through my mind is Love Feast coming up. You know, I believe it's one of the reasons for Love Feast. Turn, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11. Maybe, just maybe, it's one of the reasons the Love Feast was instituted, that we neglect not so great a salvation. 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 23. For I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This do that we don't forget how great our salvation was, is, how great the cost of our salvation. 25. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped. This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. Lest we forget. 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. That phrase there, that you show the Lord's death. Shew means to proclaim. To proclaim the Lord's death. To proclaim his resurrection. To proclaim our salvation. To remember it. To value it. In the Love Feast, we remember our great salvation. our deliverance. You see, it says proclaim, just like Moses proclaimed his deliverance, just like Miriam proclaimed the deliverance. Show the Lord's death till he comes. Now turn to Jude, the passage that got me on this topic a little bit. Jude. The thought here is very, very similar, I think, to the text that was read in Hebrews. There's a warning about neglect. There's a warning here about neglecting so great a salvation. And like I said, the first two verses here are the two we want to look at. Oftentimes we skip to verse 3. Beloved, I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. It was needful to me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. But I ask you, what makes your faith, what makes your salvation so great that you should earnestly contend for it? We have to believe deep in our heart that it's worth fighting for, that it's worth striving for, that it's worth pouring all our energy into. We have to believe that. Or the command here in verse 3 to earnestly contend for the faith just rolls off our back. We have to believe that salvation is great and it's worth fighting for. Over and over again, we're told in Scripture to strive, to contend, to fight. We're told over and over again how precious our faith, how precious our salvation is. It is the pearl of great price. Do you treat it as such? Do you treat it as such? Salvation, as we think of its greatness, has many sides to it, doesn't it? It's like a crystal in your window. It has many facets and different ways of looking at it. You turn it around and look at it from one side, and turn it around and look at it from another side. It's important to us, as we ask ourselves what is so great about our salvation, to consider it's not only what we're saved from, but what we're saved to. We're saved from, but we're also saved to. It's important to look at it, view it from all sides. All the tenses of salvation. We're saved in the past. We've been saved. Our salvation, though, is current. It's in the present tense also. We're being saved. And our salvation has a future tense where one day we will be saved. What's so great about our salvation? We should be a Bible study and we could go around and you could tell how you're looking at salvation. What makes it so great in your mind this evening? I made a quick list up what's so great about our salvation, and it's certainly not complete. It's not complete at all, but it's a few thoughts I had this week. What's so great about our salvation? It was instituted by a great God. A great God, an all-powerful God, an all-knowing God, a loving God, a merciful God. Go over his attributes over and over again, and it's instituted by him. We don't understand why. I don't anyway, perhaps you do. I don't understand why. What would make an infinite, holy, the one true and only God desire fellowship with me? I don't understand that, but he does. And he desires a fellowship with you. What makes our salvation so great is that it was instituted by a great God. It was his plan to draw you to himself. As I was thinking on that, I kept thinking of that children's song, "My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty." What truth there is in that simple song, but that he should desire us is amazing to me. It's what makes salvation great, is that it was instituted by a great God. What makes salvation great? It was paid for, it was funded with a great price. You're going to be reminded of that, I'm certain, Lord willing, this coming weekend. Your salvation was bought with a great price. The price of God the Son, leaving the glories of heaven, coming to earth where he was humiliated and tortured in body and mind and spirit. He died on the cross. He paid a great price. Paid a great price for your salvation. You see, that's what makes our salvation so great, so precious. It was bought with a great price. Number three. What makes our salvation so great? It saved us from a great punishment. It saved us from a terrible punishment. It saved us from the judgment of God, the wrath of God. It's described, the wrath of God, as it poured out on an unbelieving world in Revelation. It's a terrible thing. Terrible thing when God in his full wrath is poured out on an unbelieving world. We're saved from that. We're saved from eternal punishment of the wicked. We're saved from the great wrath of God and the punishment of the wicked. You see, that's what makes our salvation so great. We're saved from. But we're also saved too. Saved too. We're saved to the great rewards of the faithful. We're saved to a fellowship with God. Once again, there's a restored fellowship with the one true and living God, and we'll be able to walk with him and talk with him. No sin to hinder our fellowship. We'll be able to worship him freely. Nothing held back. You see, the rewards of salvation are great. Here in the beginning of Jude, there are six things listed that make salvation great. I'd like to review them briefly with you. In the time that's remaining, six things in the first two verses of Jude that makes our salvation precious, valuable, worthwhile. The first one here, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and the brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. The first one listed here is sanctified by God the Father. Sanctified means to set apart. Our salvation sets us apart. We're set apart. We're made holy. But why are we set apart? You see, it's not just being set apart and separated, but we're separated unto God. Unto God. We're set apart for his service, for his purposes. We're sanctified, set apart. Turn back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 19. set apart, not for ourselves, but to serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know you not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Sanctified, set apart, made holy, not just to be different from the world, not just to be separated, but be separated to God for His glory and His purpose. It's one of the great things about salvation. It's what makes salvation great. The second thing we see listed in Jude there, we're sanctified by God the Father, but we're also preserved in Jesus Christ. Preserved in Christ Jesus. Preserved means we're guarded, we're protected, we're watched, we're kept. But why are we protected? Why are we guarded? We're guarded for Christ and His kingdom. We're one of His. The sheep of His fold. And like the good shepherd, He loves His sheep. He protects us and guards us. It is really a great salvation. Protected, guarded, kept by the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. Third thing we see here is we're sanctified, we're preserved, and we're called. We're called. We're invited, we're appointed, we're invited to be part of His kingdom. We're chosen. We're chosen. We're chosen to serve Him. We're chosen to faithfully discharge His purposes, His plans, and to bring Him glory. If anyone here tonight is struggling with feelings of being unloved, unwanted, lonely, your life is lacking purpose, hear God say, you're chosen. You're called. You're important. You're one of His sheep. You're preserved. You're kept. Oh, brothers and sisters, it should thrill your soul that you have so great a salvation. It is a great salvation. I'd call your attention before we leave this verse 1. And I'm not sure what it means, but there seems to be groups of three in there. Did you notice it as we read it? Jude. He's named in three different ways. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. And then it gives three blessings of our salvation, sanctified and preserved and called. And also lists God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ. And I don't know if I'm adding to Scripture. I hope I'm not. But when it says called, I believe it's the Holy Spirit there that calls us, that draws us to Jesus Christ. Three sets of three. Verse 2. Notice three more things. Three more things. Blessings of our salvation. Mercy multiplied. Mercy multiplied. Mercies that are new every day. You know, by as sinful man, God should strike us down immediately. We should not breathe another breath. Our sins should separate us from God, and He should wipe us out and start over again. That's what we deserve. But praise God, we don't get what we deserve. That's what mercy is. Not getting what you deserve. mercy multiplied over and over and over again. Are we living in the light of the mercy of God? Just how good we have it. God's willingness to forgive sins if we repent of them. God's patience with us. God's long-suffering with us. God's compassion for us. Mercy multiplied over and over and over again. It's a great salvation, isn't it? It's a great salvation. Peace multiplied over and over and over again. Whether it's talking about here peace with God, peace with others, I don't know. Maybe it's talking about all those things. Peace. The world is searching for peace. And we can have it because we're saved. We can have it because we have a great salvation. We can have peace in bad times. We can have peace in good times. We can have peace in every circumstance of life. We can have peace over and over and over again, multiplied because of our salvation. Peace, rest, tranquility. I believe peace also has a certain aspect of it as wholeness, completeness, oneness. Peace. We have it. We have it over and over again because we're serving the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ, because the author of peace, God the Father, has called us. We have a great salvation. Lastly, number 6, and love. And love. Love and love and love and love multiplied over and over again. Love, and this is the agape love listed here. Love, at its heart, is a choice. This type of love is a choice. It's a preference. God chooses to love us. God chooses to love us. And when we love with this type of love, we make a choice, a preference to love. And whether this love here is talk about love for God, or love for the brotherhood, or loving our enemies, I don't know what it is. And maybe it's all that love multiplied over and over and over again. But here, because of our greatest salvation, we are loved. We are loved by the source of love, God. God is love. God is love. You see, brothers and sisters, tonight, we have a great salvation. We have a great salvation. And I hope we never make light of it. I hope we never forget how good we have it. How great a salvation. It's great. It's great. It's glorious. You see, if we understand that, then we can go on in the book of Jude. Then we can get to verse 3, where we read, contend for the faith. If we don't believe verses 1 and 2, if we can't understand or get a grip on how great our salvation is, then why would we want to fight? Why would we want to contend for the faith? Why would we want to strive to enter at the narrow gate? Why would we want to give the more earnest heed lest we let it slip? You know, all these things, all these commands are based on the fact that we have a great salvation and we appreciate it. And that's the source and that's the motivation that we find behind verse 3. Earnestly contend for the faith. Brothers and sisters, we have a faith, we have a salvation that's worth fighting for. It's worth striving for. It's worth contending for. And I trust this week, as you prepare your hearts for the love feast next week, that you'll remember and you'll think about and you'll have time to contemplate this week just how great our salvation is. May God bless you.
I like the way Brother Larry put it last week in our baptismal instruction classes. If there was only one person left on earth, God would have still provided a way for salvation. That's how much he loves us. He wants a personal relationship with each one of us. We thank God for that wonderful gift of salvation. Let us stand for prayer.